Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 5th of November. I'm Paul White. I want to announce real quick, tonight in Flowery Branch, Georgia, is our studies in the book of John. This is our weekly meeting with our friends in North Georgia, 7 p.m. Details on our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. And I live stream that on my personal Facebook page, Paul White. Also, that is available on Wednesdays. All of our platforms, audio and video. We are doing the 63rd lesson tonight in John, and we're dealing with Jesus as the door to the abundant life, where Jesus says in John 10:10, "But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant." He's the way into that abundant life. Join us if you can, and if you're in the area. Also, check us out tomorrow as we post that information. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I was thinking this morning before I started recording, I always try to think of an end game. What do you want to accomplish? And was thinking about what my hope is, not that people walk away from the podcast and think that they have found something no one's ever found before. I wouldn't presume that. Or that you even walk away feeling full in your spirit. How can 7 or 8 minutes do that for you? Especially when we're just supplementing your diet. We're not your entire diet. I know that you have your time of quiet time and reflection and study, and that we're hopefully just helping round that out a little bit. So what do I want to accomplish? Well, I hope to give you a fresh look at scriptures you've read before. I'm under no delusion that you've never read 1 Corinthians, or that you've never taken a close look at chapter 11 and the communion ceremony, but I think that maybe we can contribute alternate or new ways of thinking about old things. And it's not to say that the way I'm approaching it is the only way of approaching it, or even that my way is the right way. But that this is the way at this point in my journey that I see it. And maybe I'm so far behind some people that they go, well, I'm not getting anything out of that. And maybe I'm so far off track with some people that they think, oh, where is he going with that? But it's to expand and broaden your mind, and all the while trying to have a balance between studying the Word to find truth and to see Jesus, and mine out truths that are there that maybe we've missed, but not getting kooky and spending, you know, day after day on each individual Greek word and what they mean and how they're used outside of that. It to me, there's a fine line there, and I don't honestly know where that line is. I was telling that to a group recently. It's like, look, I love the Greek and the Hebrew and what they mean and what difference it makes in a text as much as the next guy, but I've always tried to avoid being that guy that confronts every verse with Greek truth and confronts every word with, oh, well, this means this, and I don't even really know how to explain that. I probably should leave that alone, that as far as that distinction, but I feel like there is something there, that distinction between bringing out tense and meaning and doing nothing but bringing out tense and meaning. You can bring out so much tense and meaning that to me it loses its meaning and it's not exciting anymore. We try to avoid doing that. So I said all of that to try to preface how I want to treat the 32nd and 33rd verses of 1 Corinthians 11. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. If that is a reference to the fact that many are weak, sick, and die, then you would have to assume that the chastening of the Lord sometimes kills people. And that seems to be against the entire teaching of Paul's grace and the new covenant. So I don't believe that Paul is saying you are weak and sick because God's judging you. But once you parse a proper judgment, you realize that part of the parsing of proper judgment is that you are frequently chastened by the Lord. Any chastening by the Lord is simply to keep you out of the condemnation that belongs to the world. And then the word that I think is the key word in this is the first word of 33, therefore, my brethren. So in light of the previous statement, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. What does that have to do with condemnation, judgment, and chastening? Why would he throw in, therefore, and in light of previous information, when you come together to eat, wait for one another? Because I think the point is, wait to partake communion with people who won't condemn you. It's important who we are partaking with, because we want to partake with people who don't focus us on us and our failure. They don't condemn us. Make sure we're surrounding ourselves in this communion ceremony with people who don't condemn us. But also, it's important that the people you commune with, you trust the faith of those people, because powerful things happen in corporate settings. I do believe in a corporate anointing. I do believe that something special happens when you get around the people of God. They bring things to the table. This is the beauty of the body. There's a foot and a hand. There's a foot that walks and a hand that grips. And a foot without a hand is less of a foot. It's less complete. And that's a bit of what that body of Christ analogy is about. But what people bring to the table is essential, because, you know, remember in Mark's gospel when Jesus is in the house and the house is crammed, packed, and suddenly someone starts tearing a hole in the roof and they lower their friend in front of Jesus. And the Bible says, and he, seeing their faith, said to the man, "Son, your sins be forgiven you." He, seeing their faith, said to the man. So it's the faith of the people bringing the man that made the difference. I don't know how much faith the man had. I don't even know if he knew what was going on. But it was his sins that were forgiven. Apparently he had some issues. I think he had some issues blocking his own faith. I think he was so self-condemned that he didn't think he was qualified for healing. So Jesus ignores his lack of faith and pays attention to the faith of his friend. Listen, and you've heard me say this before. In fact, I just did a Q&A in Mobile, Alabama, and dealt with this exact same thing. But so some of you that's listened to the Long Form Fridays have heard me say this. I think one of the important and overlooked aspects of communion is that you are communing with your friends and your neighbors and your brothers and your sisters, and they may believe for things you don't believe for. And that's why you want to be a part of that moment, because you want to wait on one another to partake communion. It's possible that someone that you're waiting on is believing for something you don't have the faith to believe for, and embrace that. And that will give you a whole new insight into the power of communion. And it might make you want to partake with certain people. You might get around certain people and go, "Well, I want to take communion with that guy because I believe he has faith." And I've been that way. There's been some people I really want to take communion with them because I believe for great things with them. And I hope that that helps you in understanding that. Tomorrow we'll close this chapter. I'll see you then. God bless.